Good morning, Braille family, and those who are joining in with us maybe for the first time. My name is Wes, for those of you who might not know me. I want you to know that I love you. More importantly, I want you to know that God loves you. He's cheering for you today. He's your best friend. He wants to be the one who uplifts you with his strong right hand. Would you pray with me as we begin our time in the Word this morning? Father, we need your strength. This journey is too much for us, but it's not too much for you. And so, God, this morning, we want to learn how to depend on you when we face discouragement, depression, or despair, how we can connect with you and you refresh our spirits, and God, that you would lift us up as a body of Christ. God, speak into our hearts this morning as we head into the valley so that we can make it back to the mountain. It's in your name we give praise and give thanks. Amen. This morning's sermon is titled, "The Journey is Too Much for You, but Not Too Much for the Lord." This morning's message is to prepare the disciple of Christ for what lies ahead. During this time of quarantine, there will be many victories, many sweet moments, but there will also be moments in the valley, moments of despair. You see, I want you to know this morning, friend, that we were not made to do life alone. That we are made from the dust. We are very fragile, you see. We want you to know that, but you can make it through this time with the Lord's strength. Today, if you have a Bible or device, you're going to need it a lot today. We're going to wade through a story in 1 Kings chapter 19. If you're a small group leader, we also have a prepared lesson for you, or you should be taking notes because we've deviated from the normal message. Feel free to teach whichever one you want to. Elijah, this powerful prophet, had just had this stunning victory upon Mount Carmel, where literal fire came down from heaven and defeated the enemies of God. Let's just say he was riding high. But in this very next moment, we're going to see that he gives in to discouragement, depression, and even despair. Now, during this time, we're going to face those moments too, where we'll have these great moments of spiritual victory, but then we will have times and moments in which we do not feel like we're doing so hot spiritually. I want you to know that God is prepared to walk you through that valley, that he's going to see you through the other side until your next mountaintop experience. He is here to uphold you with his right hand. And I want you to listen this morning because I believe as a nation, as a state, as a city, as a church, that we are on a journey together. And I don't think this journey is going to be over in a week or so. We have a few weeks, it looks like, from all the information that we're getting. And I want you to be spiritually prepared to walk through this valley that we are calling the coronavirus. There's two mistakes people make, I believe, in preparing for something like this. One is the "I got this" mentality as a Christian. You were not made to walk in your own strength. You were made to be empowered by God. So having this false bravado, a self-pride that you are a tough person and that you can handle this trial on your own outside of the Lord's strength, outside of his provision and the guidance from his word, will lead to despair. The other one is just giving up completely. When I was younger, my little nephew Anthony, I took him to the mall and we were walking past the arcade and we were in a hurry. He said, "I want to go play in there." I said, "No, we don't have time, little buddy." And he said, "I will freak out on you." And he began to do it right there in the mall in this moment. And so what we don't need is this self-confidence and this also this purposeful freaking out in the moment and just giving in to discouragement and depression and despair. I want you to listen this morning so that you can have strength as you head into the valley. So if you want to open up your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to wade through this story together, and we're going to see this great prophet come off the mountain, go down into the valley, and get back up on that mountain of God. And we're going to just learn some insights from this story so that we can be spiritually prepared as we journey through this valley together. First of all, just let me set it up. Israel is in a horrible time where we have an evil king named Ahab and an evil queen, Jezebel, and most of the country has turned to idolatry and worshiping false gods. It's not a great time for the people of God. There's a famine upon the land, and just all kinds of horrible things are happening within the backdrop. But Elijah just had this powerful victory where fire came down from heaven and the one true God was vindicated and the prophet was vindicated. And he just had this spiritual victory kind of moment where it's like, you know, God reigns forever. He's worshiping. It is clear that God is the victor. And then something else happens. If you'll look at verse 1, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." So the king goes back and reports to the queen that Elijah has just wiped out all these other prophets, all the other false prophets, the fire came down. He's reported back the victory of God. But listen to what Jezebel says in verse 2. "So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them.'" So basically she threatens to kill him. And you would think if someone had just slayed all these prophets, fire came down from heaven, that they would be able to withstand this king and queen's pronouncement of trying to take his life. But we're going to find out that is not what happens in this prophet's life. And I want you to know that Elijah is just like us. That when he walked with the Lord, powerful, miraculous things happen in his life. But when he gets his eyes off the power of God and listens to the threat of man, discouragement, depression, and despair sits in. Read along with me verses 3 and 5. "Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep." So when great times of discouragement come our way, when famine comes, when life is shutting down all around us, what do we need to protect ourselves against? We cannot go into a cycle of worldly thinking. We can't give in to discouragement, depression, and despair. So the first thing we see of things not to do. One, Elijah became afraid. Friends, I know it is a scary time. God would not say, "Fear not," if there was not a reason to be afraid often in the Bible. The coronavirus is scary. Losing your life to a virus is scary. Thinking about your loved ones, not having money for your necessities. But God has promised his people that if we would trust in him, that we have no reason to be afraid of what is to come because he holds our future. What Elijah did right here is that he began to fear the threat of man more than he trusted in the very promises of God. And friend, listen to me. If fear is at your doorstep, if you have been giving in to fear, I want you to start to remember the very promises of God. The second thing we see here is that he left his friend behind. He left his support system. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he went to a day's journey in the wilderness. For whatever reason, Elijah takes off by himself and he goes on this journey through this valley to the other side by himself. We need our friends more than ever. And it is hard to give this message. Usually we're up here like, you need to go to your small group. And now we're saying like, now you have to sign into Zoom to have your small group. But we need to stay as social as we can through technology. On the phone, talking to people, emailing, sending letters, meeting on Skype and Zoom. Whatever it takes for you to see other people. It's encouraging for you to be around other people. No one can go through this alone. The third thing we see is he becomes physically and emotionally exhausted. He came to a broom bush, which is the only tree that would be big enough in that region to have shade. He sat down under it and he prayed that I might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. He actually became physically and emotionally exhausted. And I want you to know that sitting around the house, you'd think you would have all this time that you would be refreshed. But sitting in your house and not sticking to your daily routine can actually make you more tired, can make the mind more weary. And if you're not used to being at home all day, it's hard to get in that rhythm, especially when it's thrusted upon you. But we see that he is physically and emotionally exhausted. The fourth thing we see is that he has self-pity. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. He is able to diagnose the problem, but the statement here that I am no better than my ancestors, no one has asked him to be. No one's asked him to be greater than Moses. No one's asked him to do that. So he's making the problem bigger than it is. And friends, that's what we do when we let fear set in. We let our community drop away from us. We become physically and emotionally exhausted. We begin to believe the self-negative talk. But there's hope for you this morning. If you fall in any of those categories, if you've let fear discourage you, depress you, or your life has led to despair, I want you to listen to this word of hope this morning from the Bible. Look in verses 6 and 9 with me. The Lord refreshes him and begins to speak to him. This is how this journey is too much for us, but it's not too much for the Lord. Listen to how he encourages us. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And I want you to underline the next part of this verse. "For the journey is too much for you." Listen, friend. The Lord here is telling Elijah what he has called him to, what he has asked him to do, where he has asked him to go is too much for him to do it alone. The journey is too much for us. But there's good news here, because the Lord is not going to leave us, and the journey is not too much for him. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, which is also known as Mount Sinai. There he went into the cave and he spent the night. So what can we gather from this refreshing time and how the Lord speaks to him? And how can the Lord refresh us and speak to us? Very first, this is very just simple, practical advice. The Lord met his physical needs. He ate a meal and drank some water. Friends, listen, do the simple things first. Get up, take a shower, eat some food. Some of you guys have been laying around in the same clothes for 4 days now, haven't you? You're just like sweatshirt, peanut butter stain. You're just chilling around your house, Netflixing. The house is a disaster. Maybe I'm just describing my life, but maybe you feel that. That is not good behavior. What you need is to do the simple things that the Lord has given you. Take a nap. When you're having that "I will freak out on you" moment, when you see your life crashing towards discouragement or despair, drink water. Take a nap, eat some food. It works. But the Lord spoke to him, telling him, "This journey's too much for you." But after the Lord spoke to him and strengthened him, guess what? For 40 days and nights, he traveled. The same way that God was able to sustain the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. When Jesus was tempted for 40 days, it was God who sustained Christ in the wilderness. And I want you to know this today. No matter how long this quarantine lasts, the Lord your God will sustain you. He will keep you. He will supernaturally provide for you. He's not going to leave you, and he is going to strengthen you. So shower, eat, take a nap, and know that the Lord is with you. But then we see something weird Elijah does. He goes into a cave. He goes into the cleft. This might be the very cleft that Moses hid in when he was on top of the mountain himself. And the Lord and Elijah begin to have a talk. They begin to have a dialogue, and I want to point you to, you need to have your own dialogue with the Lord. As you feel discouragement, depression, or despair coming upon you, as you feel this journey's weight becoming too much for you, you need to be honest with the Lord. None of us are superheroes of faith. All of us fret. All of us worry. All of us have great moments of darkness or hardship, and it's okay to meet. You're going to see the Lord's grace in this. Look at you'll see it in verses 10 and 14. The Lord asked a question. So we're just going to walk through this dialogue, verses 10 through 14. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Don't you like when the Lord asks you questions he already knows? The question is not for him to answer. He knew where Elijah was. He wants you to think about it. Elijah responds in verse 10. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put the prophets to death with the sword." And there's a period there. So far, Elijah is just reporting history and what has happened. But listen to the discouragement, depression, despair kick in. I, Elijah, am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. It's just not true, and we'll get to that here in a minute. He tells the history of what's going on, but he lets despair enter the picture. Listen, we must remember Christians around the world. We are not the only ones suffering. And this part of the message might be a little hard to hear, and we want to come at you with grace this morning. But friends, if we have food, if we have shelter, if our families are healthy, if we have water to drink, we should praise the Lord this morning. I want you and your household to count your blessings this morning and tell God thank you for what he has provided us so far. The coronavirus is horrible. We do not need to lighten that blow. It's a horrible thing. It is a worldwide pandemic. Our country is shutting down. However, there is hope. The Lord speaks to him again in a way that Elijah needed. Look at verse 11 and follow along with me. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by, the same way he would do with his servant Moses years ago. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled back his cloak over his face, and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. I want you to know that God is always speaking to his people. And God takes him through a theophany of experiences here where there's wind, there's fire, there's an earthquake that is coming about. And Elijah would have experienced great and powerful things of the Lord in his past life, in his walk. He's been on the mountaintop and he has actually literally seen fire. God answered with fire from heaven. But you know, when we are discouraged, when depression is setting in and we are fretting and given over to despair, sometimes we need that still small voice. Sometimes it's in the quiet, in the silence. Sometimes it's the encouragement of a friend. Sometimes it's a smile of a child. Sometimes it's spring that is coming forth and flowers blooming in your yard that the Lord Almighty is speaking to you. Friends, listen to the Lord in his gentle whisper. But the Lord speaks to him again and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah repeats himself. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. There's that despair, his inability really to see. And now they're trying to kill me too, which was true. The prophet, the great prophet, is discouraged, he's depressed, and he's given over to despair. Now I want you to look here. Again, none of us alone can stand up to a worldwide pandemic. You can't lead your family through this in your own strength. You can't keep your mental health in check, your physical appearance in check. We need the Lord Almighty. But this prophet is discouraged in despair. But the Lord gives him some new direction. And he begins to open up his eyes. The Lord said to him, go back to the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat from Abel and Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escaped the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death of any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Now listen, here's what the Lord sees and speaks to him. Here's what the prophet could not see. The Lord speaking about his mighty host, his great army, the deliverance coming to his people. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel and all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Here's what I want you to do, Elijah. I'm not done working. I am not off my throne. I am not giving up on my people. I see their needs. All those who have not bowed down, who have not given in to fear, despair, immorality of the world, to those who have not checked out on God's word, the singing of hymns and spiritual songs, to those who call out on the name of the Lord, I want you to go anoint two kings. I'm going to anoint you a new prophet who's going to take over the work for you. Not only that, he's going to be your friend and encourager. I'm going to replace everything that you thought that you have lost. I'm going to uphold you with my right hand. You are going to be okay. And church, he speaks that to us today. The Lord is on the throne. He's in complete control. He's not afraid of the coronavirus, and his church shall reign. The gates of hell shall not prevail. We will be the victorious people of Christ. And we can't see what the Lord Almighty sees, the 7,000 men, what he's doing behind the scenes. Yesterday, at our church, a young man gave his life to the Lord. He is being saved because of what is happening right now. He has given his life to the Lord. We praise him for that. So, how does this speak to us? This journey is too much for us, but it's not too much for the Lord. Friend, listen. Drink your water, eat your food, take a nap. You should follow very practical things. Don't be watching scary, depressing movies right now on Netflix, right? You know, don't be bumming yourself out more. Do not give in to negative talk. But listen, you will have those moments where it feels like everything is falling apart. And what I want you to know that the Lord never shamed Elijah in this passage. He didn't say, hey, remember the fire I did for you? Remember when I did this for you? Why have you fallen here? He feeds him. He gives him something to drink. And an angel of the Lord ministers to him. So no matter how many times you have lost it over this week, no matter how many times you will lose it over the next week or two, the Lord will see you through this journey. The second thing is, I want you to wrestle in conversation. Christians for a long time have used over-spiritual language in a sense that I'm victorious and I'm great. And all that's true. But when you're feeling down, say it out loud. When you are struggling with fear, you need to express that to the Lord in prayer, and you need to tell your family what's going on in your heart. Then you need to take a shower, have a nap, eat some food, get up and read his word, and let the Lord speak to you. And lastly, let the Lord speak to you in a new and fresh way. He told the prophet Elijah, I have two new kings for you, and I have a new successor for you. My work will continue. Friends, the Lord has been speaking to us in so many ways. Our church was in the middle of a 40-day spiritual campaign about loving the house, loving this physical house, refreshing Sunday morning, anything from new coffee workers to people running tech and children's ministry. And right in the middle of that, we were cut off. Our tag phrase, though, was, I love my church. And what we hoped to do during that 40-day campaign, what we originally planned, was to build a deeper camaraderie among believers. I think what we have learned during this time is just how precious our fellowship is. Just how meaningful Bible study is. How important these songs are to our hearts. How we long to love one another in person. God does love this church. And friend, he loves you. This journey is too much for you, but he will see you through. This journey is not too much for the Lord. Do the practical things, wrestle with him in conversation, and let him speak to you in a fresh way. I love you, and I'm praying for you. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. God, we ask you right now in the name of Christ that you would strengthen us, that you would give us hope, that people would not beat themselves up about having too much fear in their lives, but God, that you do a mighty work in them and through them. Father, we confess loudly and with deep humility that this journey is too much for us, but it's not too much for you. We ask in the name of Christ that we would look at this great prophet whose nature was just like ours, and realize that all of us can get there, but you will see us through that valley And we will one day join together as a church again on top of the mountain together in love and in unity and hope and in joy. And God, that you're going to do a brand new work into us. Speak to our people right now. As we go into another song of worship, speak to us, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.